Greetings to you all in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Shalom.
How do you use your time? How do you use your time? And that's the reason why I said the word slave should strike your minds, because Paul, again and again in his letters, in his epistles, has said many times that he is a slave of Christ, a servant of God. Now my question, and I would like somebody, okay, I have Yashwant, since you can answer, since you're here on stage, I would ask Yashwant the question. Now, do you believe that you are a servant of God or a slave of Christ?
Servant of God. Servant.
So you don't say you're a slave? No, put your mic close. I want everybody to hear.
I'm both.
You both.
Slave and servant of God.
Okay. Now, when you say you're a slave, does a slave has any independent time? Come on. Can he take off on his own and do his own things rather than the things of his master? Now my question is, how many times have you said that you're a slave to Christ? But then you do your own thing. Which slave does not submit to the authority of his master? A slave has no time of his own. The master has every right over the slave's time. When I say get up, he gets up. When I say you sit, he sits. When I tell you to eat, you eat. When I tell you to do something, you do something. But without me, you're not going to do anything, because I have bought you. I have paid a price for you, and your time is mine, says the master. When you ask people to do anything for the Lord, please, I'm very busy. I can't, brother. I have other obligations. Which slave would tell his master that he's busy and he cannot serve his master? And the irony is, every Christian says this to his master. It's such a pity. And when people say they love God, that is the greatest lie of their life. If you say you're a slave and a servant to God, and slaves to righteousness, what would you do spending your time for? Doing the righteous things, doing the will of the Father. What did Jesus Christ do? He took off on his own, spent time doing his own things, or he did the will of the Father in heaven? He says, I have come not to do my will, but the will of my Father in heaven. Now my question to you, Yashwant, are you truly God's slave? Or you have been lying to yourself all this while? Come on, I want to hear the answer.
I'm trying.
Slaves don't try, they do it. Which slave will tell his master, I'm trying, I'll try to make time? Brother Prabhakar, if you are bought with a price, you don't belong to yourself, am I right? And you have been bought not with money, but with the blood of Jesus Christ. He owns you. He is your master. And that's why we always see God being spoken as master, as Lord. Who would you call a Lord? A slave would call his master Lord. And you all lie, of course, that includes me, so blatantly, and say that we love God, but we don't have time for Him, for His works, and for His will, and for His plans. And that's where I say Christians are caught up in this lie. They're being deceived by the enemy, and they don't even know. They have the talent, but they don't have the time to serve God. I'm too busy. Well, whose time are you living on? We are on borrowed time. We are on God's time. We are at His mercy. And that's the reason I made you read this psalm today, this morning. He says, as the eyes of slaves look to the hand, the slave's eyes are so attentive to his master. As we all say, ek ishara kafi hai. When the master looks at the slave knows what the master wants. And here, God neither slumbers nor sleeps, and He's watching you 24 hours, but the slaves' and servants' eyes are not on the master's. And the slave is telling the master that he loves him. When his eyes are not set on his master, how can you be truthful? Isn't it an irony? We ought to truly examine our lives, question the authenticity of our faith, and ask God, do I truly love you? Am I worthy of your mercies? Do I deserve to be forgiven? You have given everything, all of your time, to save me from hell. You have given everything, every second of your life on this earth, to save me from the wrath of the Heavenly Father. You have not wasted time. And that's what in Philippians 2 we read. He took the form of a servant. He took the form of a servant, and he called his father Master, Lord. And my question is, after you are saved, after you have been washed by the blood of Jesus, what are you doing with the time that's been given to you? How efficiently are you using your time for Him? Now the slave will use his time for himself or for the master. Come on, I can't hear, church. And I hope that one day you will realize, when you stand before God and when God questions you and asks you, what did you do with my time? What are you going to answer Him? What are you going to tell Him? Don't give Him frivolous answers. God is going to ask an account of every second that He has given you to live for Him. And He's going to ask each one of you, what have you done with my time? 1 Thessalonians, please. Chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. It says, and to make it your ambition. I've written something out here. The New Testament tells us that we should make it our ambition to be dependent on nobody. And that means spending a certain amount of time on ourselves first. A lot of people look for company to spend time, but they forget that they have to spend time alone with themselves and with, I can't hear, which we don't do. Which slave will not go to his master in the morning and greet him? Which slave, which servant would not want to go and humble himself before his master? Every night the slave will go and he will thank the master for everything that he has provided him with. The Bible says it should be our ambition to lead a quiet life. And quiet life happens in solitude, not in public. God is saying you need to take time to think about your life, about yourself. You need to reflect upon your life. And God, that is why, how many of you read Psalm 23? He leads me beside. What is he doing by leading you there? Giving you rest. He wants you to reflect. What do you see in the water? What do you see in the water? God wants you to reflect. God wants you to think about how you've been spending your time. And that's where I say, take time to maintain a journal so you know how well you have spent your day. There are many people, though they are not Christian, they will say things to do today. They have a to-do list. But many Christians don't have any list. They don't even know what to do today. And to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, you should mind, you know, what do people do? They're always interested in the affairs of others. You take so much of time thinking of what the other person does. You take so much of time talking about the person, what the other person does, but you don't reflect on your own self. And the Bible is clearly saying, hello, spend quiet time with yourself. We all need, that's what he says, when you pray, go behind the closed doors. And whatever you pray in secret, your heavenly Father shall see it from heaven and openly reward you. You need a solitude time, quiet time. And I don't know how many of you are willing to have this time. You should mind your own business and work with your hands. What is God asking us to do? Don't meddle in others' affairs, but mind your own business and do your work. What I have assigned you to do, you do it. So that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, outsiders in the sense not believers, but Gentiles of heathen. And so that you will not be dependent on anybody. It's so sad that today Christians, they spend so much of time doing nothing. They spend so much of time doing nothing and expecting God to do a miracle in their life. And the Bible says, he that does not work is not worthy to even eat food. Christians are to be efficient. Why? Because we are in the Lord's business. When you go to a company and you work, and if you're not efficient, even if you're not efficient as a doctor, I think you will probably be kicked out of the hospital where you're working. If you're not efficient in what you do, I don't think you'll have place anywhere. And it's the same thing with Christians. Whose business are we to look after? I can't hear. Whose business? But whose business are we looking after? You all know it. I always say you people are very courageous, very brave, because you know you're going to stand before an awesome, wonderful God, a God who judges righteously, and he's not going to spare anybody. You know that when he judges, he's not going to show mercy. And you know you have to give an account. But you're so unprepared. You must be really brave to be unprepared to go and stand before this God to give an account of your life and your time. We are in the Lord's business. Now, if you take the richest man in the world, how many hours in a day does he have? Come on. I can't hear you. A richest man in the world has how many hours in a day? And the poorest man in the world? It's the same. It's how you use your time. The rich man has 24 hours. The poor man has 24 hours. So please don't say, I don't have enough time. It's a lie. We've all been given enough time. So we shall look at a number of things. Our use of time, our use of money, our use of possessions, our use of our contacts, our use of our talents, and a number of other things. Now, if I were to ask you, how are you using your money? How much time are you spending to use your money for the right cause, for the right things? How are you using your possessions, your talents? There are many people, please pardon me, I'm not picking anybody particular, but I'm saying there are many people who have talent and don't use it for God because of some issue. As if we are working for the person rather for God. And I don't know what account we are going to give God for it. Time seems to be the great enemy today. We are so bound. How many of you have watches? How many of you are wearing watches? Does it help? Does it help? Only to show the brand to somebody, it helps. Right? I don't know. Time seems to be the great enemy today. We are so bound by our watches, and some people by their diaries, and it's always running away from us. You look at the time, oh my God, 10 minutes up. Oh my God, 1 hour gone. It's running away from you. And we never do in 1 week what we hope to do. How many days in a week? When we started it, we look back over it and think, well, now how did that squeezed out? That get squeezed out? We talk about time flying, and some people talk about killing time. Brother, I'm so bored. I don't know what to do. I'm trying to kill time. You'd rather die than kill time. No Christian should ever say that he's trying to kill time. Every Christian should say, God, I wish I had more time to pray, more time to serve, more time to forgive, more time to love, more time to exhort, more time to do greater things for your name's sake. Lord, 24 hours somehow I can't fit in to serve you. It's not sufficient. I hope that we will have this mindset as we mature in days to come. We talk about time flying, we talk about killing time. Mind you, there are very few Christians talk about this problem of killing time. Very few genuine Christians who are serving God. I think that's one problem that tends to get sorted out when you become a Christian. You know, when you become a Christian, time should not become an enemy. Time should not be a problem. There are many Christians who say they don't have time. Now my question is, what do you have time for? What do you have time for? Be honest and tell God that I've not been honest with your time and even with my personal time. I have wasted. As a slave looks to his master, his eyes are on the master, but my eyes drifted away and wasted precious time from your presence, from being in your presence. First of all, there are two things that I want to introduce in this subject, and I hope you can write it down if you can. I would appreciate it. First of all, we've got all the time there is. This may sound a bit obvious, but it needs to be said. Now, each one of you may be having different amounts of money, right? But you and I have exactly the same amount of time. You may have a little more money than me, and I may have a little less. But to work for God, the one with more money and one with less money has the same equal amount of time. So don't give me this rubbish by telling that I don't have because I have so many other responsibilities. Oh, the one with money does not have responsibilities. The one with no money has more responsibilities. What excuse is this? Who gives you the ability to produce wealth? Who gives you the time to make money? We all need to introspect our lives and see where we stand with God truly. Because we have been living a lie. We've been lying to ourselves. I'm telling you, Christians, there will be many, please don't mistake what I'm saying, but there will be many believers who will be in hell. It's not a joke. This is a fact, because the Bible says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of God. Be careful. Use time wisely. The rich man and the poor man have been given equal time. You have different amounts of money, but you and I have exactly, come on, the same amount of time. And when I get, you know what surprises me when people don't come on time to church? And when some people come on time to church, and those who don't come on time to church, I'm amazed. What excuse they would give God. People don't have time to serve in the church. I've got 24 hours to the day, though I sometimes wish it were 48. I mean, wishes could be horses. Right? And you've got 24 hours or 168 hours in a week. How many hours in a week? Thank you. We've all got the same amount. We start equal. What do? Everybody starts on God's timeline. Everybody, the rich and the poor, starts equal. We start equal and render our account to God when we meet Him for the 24 hours a day that He gave us. And that's why David in his Psalms says, count your, or number your, I can't hear church. For every 24 hours of each day, there is a book that is written. And you will give an account of the entire life that you have spent. Each one of you, what you have done in 24 hours for God is accounted for. And how many hours in this Sunday? How many hours in this Sunday? I can't hear. Come on. At the back. The young boy there. Yeah. 24. And how much do you will to give God? Or is just like any other day? Huh? Whole day. Okay, I'll see you till the evening in the church. Thank you. The second thing that I need to say is that we have to give all our time to God. I'm not asking you to give up your work, but I'm asking to give all your time. Even in your work, you can give time to God. Wherever you are, you can give time to God. At your workplace, you could be a witness. Wherever you are, you can give time to God. Whether you're in a college, whether you're outside, whether you're at work, wherever you are, you can give time to God, because that time is God's. Don't sit down with friends and say, let's plan something for the day. Sit down with friends who will say, let's plan something to do for God today. These are the kinds of friends that you need in your life who will plan according to God's plans. And the merry youngsters, I don't know what account you're going to give God. The second thing that I need to say is that we have to give all our time to God. We shall never get anywhere in the Christian life as long as we think that religion is a compartment, a proportion of everything, and once you're done your duty with your proportion, the rest is yours. I hope you understood. Religion is not like a bogey, like a compartment. That you do your part, oh, Sunday I sang for God. So the rest of the week, the 6 days, is mine, praise be unto God. Sunday I came to church and I sat for 2 hours, so the next of the 6 days is mine and I will do what I want to do. It's not a compartment. It is not that you've done this and your proportion is over. Because the Bible says in Colossians 3:23, do everything as if you're doing unto God. I don't know, church. Christianity is in the decline. And this is a fact. Many churches, America is not a Christian country. That's the biggest lie. If it was a Christian country, the churches would have been full. The churches in America would be full. They would be thriving. Churches are being sold to clubs and pubs, to temples, to mosques. It's a lie. There are not many Christian countries. There are very few Christian people. And we are all in the minority in the entire world. You know why? Because the so-called Christian countries and the people living in it don't give their time to God. And that's why there is a decline today in Christianity. If we notice, I told you Paul's letters. He says, I am a slave of Christ again and again and again. Now, to be a slave is to have no free time of your own whatsoever. Whatsoever. A slave will have no free time. You know, when people say, when I retire, I will serve God. Jesus, bless them. What a pity this is. Shame on them. Shame on them. May God be merciful to them for giving them so much time, and yet they're wasting so much time. To be a slave is to have no free time of your own whatsoever. To be bought means that the one who bought you can claim any minute of any day, at any time. You are totally someone else's property. Now, how many of you believe that you have been bought with a price? That's a lie. If you believed, you would not spend your time like this. That's why I say, be quick to hear and slow to answer. Are you bought? Are you a slave to Christ? Are you a servant of the Most High? Are you lying to yourself? Are you fooling yourself? Are you being deceived by the devil? We're not here to do any favor to God. And we can't, for God's sake. No man can do any favor to God. And when people say that they don't have time to church, then what else they have time for? They don't have time to serve in the church. They don't have time to participate in the events of the church. They don't have time to give their talents to glorify God. What a shame. What a pity. And I don't know what account they're going to give God. Brother, Sunday I will serve. The rest of the day I will do my thing. No, a slave cannot say this. A servant cannot say this. Well, many people will say, now we are not servants, we are the sons of the living God. Then act like one. You don't even act like a son, not a servant. The Bible says, honor your father. If you're a son, honor the Father in heaven. You don't even do that. And you say you're a son. Whom are you fooling? It's not the Christian life to say, well, I've done my bit. I've given 2 or 3 hours and Sunday, or even I've given Sunday, some people give the entire Sunday, but not the week. Now I can do with the rest what I like. It is a total dedication is what they think. They think 2 or 3 hours on a Sunday. They think they have dedicated their time to God. Wow. You know, I wish God literally had a rod in his hand and struck us. But he does not do because he's a father. He's so merciful to this disobedient human beings who have no time for him. For him who has given every time of his to save us from wrath, from judgment and eternal hell. And we don't have time for such a great God. What a pity this is. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verses 11 to 18, please.
Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another up.
Now you use your time to do what? Church, I can't hear. To do what? To cry. To sulk. Tell me. That's what we all do. This person has done this to me. So that's why I'm not going to do this in the church. This person had said this to me. So that's why I'm going to be indifferent in the church. What a shame. I'm not going to give my time to God. But has God been indifferent to you? Then why being indifferent? Why act indifferently to God? Even in the church? Yes, please.
Just as you are doing, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you.
We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you
and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love.
Which never happens. How are you two? You are two? Come on. Read it again. I want the church to know. It's not that we expect something.
And to esteem them very highly in love because of their work.
I hope that this mind will be in each one of you. Read that verse once again, please.
And to esteem them.
No, the before.
We ask you, brothers.
We ask you, brothers.
To respect those who labor among you.
To respect those who labor among you.
And are over you in the Lord.
And over you in the Lord.
And admonish you.
And admonish you.
And to esteem them very highly in love.
To esteem them, not even highly.
Very highly.
Most difficult thing. God bless. Yes, please continue.
Because of their work.
Because of their work.
Be at peace among yourselves.
What the Bible is saying? Be. Come on. With others? No. Hello? Yes, with yourself. If there is no peace in you, you can never have peace. There are many people who think moving away to a different location, they will have peace. There are many people who think that they need to go on a vacation to find peace. When you have no peace, even if you spend a crore of rupees, you'll never have peace. Peace cannot be found outside. Peace has to be within. And Jesus is saying, I have come to give peace, not as the world giveth. Peace that surpasseth all knowledge and understanding and wisdom of man. That peace God wants to give you. And that you can have that peace only when you have time with God and for God. Yes, please.
And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted.
Okay, now let me read this in my version, please. Okay? I hope you'll change. Right. So, let me read it. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle. Now, first of all, you have to warn yourself before you warn anybody else. Because each one of you are idle. You have to really be afraid of what account you're going to give God for the 24 hours of the day. Warn those who are idle and disruptive, encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient. The most difficult thing. Somebody says something to you, you become impatient. And with your impatience, you don't want to give time to God because your ego is hurt. Encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Please note that this is all related to how you need to spend your time. This is how every Christian needs to spend his time, no matter wherever they are. Encourage. You need to spend the time encouraging the disheartened, spending time by helping the weak, being patient with everyone. Hear everybody out. Give them time to listen. Listen to them. Listen to them. Even if it offends you, listen to them. And take the offensive part out and pray for them. And pray for them. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong. And this is how a Christian needs to spend his time. You did this, no? That's why I'm not going to speak to you. You said this, no? That's why I'm not going to come. Are, what is this attitude? Is this how a slave will talk to his master? Is this how a servant will be or act in front of his master? Now, some person from outside came while the slave is in his master's house and said something offensive, and this slave is saying, because this man said like this, I'm not going to serve you. Does it make any sense? Does it make any sense to you? But always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always. Now, how do you need to spend your time? Crying? How do you need to spend your time? When I see some faces, I tell you, I'm amazed. Why is there no joy in their face? Why is there no peace? Even in the Lord's presence, I don't see the joy in their faces. So sad. Rejoice always. Now the next one is very crucial. Pray. Continually. Brother, I am busy with my work. You have called me for prayers. I'm sorry, I can't pray. And I call up and I say, brother, I'm being led to pray for you. Brother, not now, I'm busy. Wow. And they never get prayers done back again. They've lost their opportunity. God was showing that something is going to happen and puts the burden of prayer in my heart to call someone and pray for them. And they say, I'm sorry, brother, right now I'm very busy. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verses 6 to 16. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers and sisters, to keep away from unbeliever or believer. Thank you. That's why I say there will be many believers in hell. We command you, brothers and sisters, to keep away from every believer who is idle and disruptive and does not live according to the teachings you received from us. He's asking you to separate from believers, not from unbelievers. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you. Nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling so that we would not be a burden to any of you. Today, they, you know how many calls, I'm sure Mahesh pastor also gets. It's all about money. All about money. All about their debts. But nobody says, brother, pray that I can give more time to God. What a pity. What a shame this is. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you to imitate. You should be a model, not a celebrity model, okay? No hard feelings, Vishwa. But you need to be a model so that others will look at you and take you as an example. But in order to offer ourselves as a model for you to imitate, for even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. The one who is unwilling to work, you all eat 3 times a day, right? You all eat, but you don't work. How does that food digest? Not only eat, they're unthankful about it. Oh God, have mercy on us. The one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. I wish every youngster would come, brother, I'm not eating today because I've not worked enough for God. When will I hear something like this from your mouths? I don't feel like eating because I'm ashamed, because I've not spent time for God. Though I've been a slave to him and he's bought me with a price, with his precious blood, I have not been faithful with his time. And that's why I refuse to eat. And when I work, I shall eat. I wish that every youngster had this kind of a mindset for God. Please don't give me this rubbish that you love God. It's a lie. Be honest with yourselves, children, please. Be honest. Don't fool around. Because when you stand before God, there's no escaping his judgment. And I pray that nobody will come under his wrath or his judgment, which is the worst thing to happen to some believer. And that's why I always say, once saved, always saved. It's not true. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule, the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle and disruptive. You know how many times, I'm sorry to say it, but I had to plead with people. Call people. Request people. They are not busy, they are busybodies. What are they? Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the food they eat. And as for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is good. Take special note of anyone who does not obey our instruction in this letter. Do not with unbelievers or people. Yeah, thank you. Do not associate with them in order that they may feel ashamed. Yet do not regard them as an enemy, but warn them as you would a fellow believer. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you.